Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. We're going to be looking at some portions of Luke 1 and Luke 2. Starting in Luke 1, beginning in verse 5. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years." The angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I've been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." In the sixth month, God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. And then the angel left her. Now turn over to chapter 2, if you would. Beginning in verse 8. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Heavenly Father, please help us to understand and believe your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Three angelic appearances in these short span of verses. I would be reluctant to ask how many of you have seen an angel. Partly because somebody may not have seen an angel and think they have. Partly because some of you may have seen an angel and not known it. But the fact of the matter is that God has beyond what we see here and what we see here all sorts of things that he has made. Things that are hidden from our eyes. It's always wonderful when scientists discover something new that's been there all along. It's not a new thing in the sense that, oh my goodness, there's never been one of those before. It's a new thing to us because we never saw it before. We never knew it was there. When you look at the world around you, there are more amazing things than you can catalog. But there's also stuff right here among us that we don't see. You all know that one of my eccentricities is that I'm keenly aware of the reality of germs. Okay? And some of that comes from, I'm sure, having had a father who was extremely sensitive to the reality of germs. But one reason that my family line was so alert to that is because literally in my grandparents' lifetime, people were just finding out about this stuff. It was a new discovery that explained all kinds of things. Now, it didn't make the diseases go away automatically, though they did, once they knew about germs, learn some steps they could take to try and stop the spread of infection and even to treat infection. But the reality of what's going on that we couldn't see before changed lives. It changed everybody's perspective because they realized that even though we can't see it, it's reality. And it's an important reality that impacts the reality we can see. So, angels, are they real? Of course they are. We know it because the Bible tells us so. This is his word, and it's all true, and it holds together, and it will give you a coherent and cohesive view of the universe. This is reality. This is revelation. God has revealed to us the nature of things. And so we are blessed now to have this revelation in English, that's our language, where we can learn these things. But people, as we've said before, sacrificed in order to make the truth of God's word accessible to us. Now, as we look at what it says in God's word, we see that an angel appeared. Catch that word? Verse 11. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, to Zechariah, that is. And the idea here, this occurs elsewhere in Scripture, was the angel was there before he appeared. All of a sudden, it wasn't just that he saw it, it's that the angel appeared. He manifested his presence. There are angels that are present that remain unseen. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that God has made the angels servants on our behalf, those who are Christians. There are angels who are at work right now for us, doing what God has ordained for them to do. But this particular angel was a high-ranking angel who was sent with a message to deliver. And so as Zechariah is going about his duties, doing his thing, the angel shows up and announces something, and Zechariah doesn't say, oh, wow, this is really cool. Zechariah is terrified. That is the typical response when an angel shows up. Not only because they're startled, but because the appearance of the angel is awesome in the true sense of that word. It creates awe, amazement. All right? Now, could an angel sometimes appear in a way that didn't create awe? Yes, definitely. We have examples of that, including the expression that you need to entertain strangers, because many in doing so have entertained angels unaware. They didn't realize that was an angel. They were simply doing the right thing, but in the process, they were in the presence of a divine messenger. So, the angel appears to Zechariah. Zechariah is terrified, and the angel says something to him, and Zechariah is still very uncomfortable. The angel says, Zechariah, your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. And Zechariah says, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in years. And the angel says, well, it's going to happen, but between now and then, you're not going to be able to speak anymore. He did not fully embrace the message that God had sent to him. And so God didn't say, well, in that case, I'm not going to do it. Deal's off. I'm going to go find somebody else. No. God's decree was going to be fulfilled. John the Baptist was going to be born to Zechariah and Elizabeth. That was what God had planned from before the beginning of time. But because Zechariah didn't receive that word immediately with faith, he was given a rebuke. Zechariah lost the power to speak until after the child was born. But Zechariah went home and communicated with his wife, and she became pregnant by her husband, and that child that was born was named what God said it was to be named. They named the child John. God planned John's life. God gave him to his parents. And the answer to their prayers came long after they had given up. He sends this angel with the message, your prayers have been heard, your wife's going to conceive and bear a son.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His Word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
So, you have the announcement that Zechariah and Elizabeth are going to have a child named John. Then the second appearance of the angel in this passage is the angel Gabriel coming to visit Mary, a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. And the angel went to her, verse 28, and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." And Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Again, we see the same response. It was one of fear. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You've found favor with God. You'll be with child and give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus." And Mary asked, verse 34, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" She didn't say, "How can I be sure?" That was what Zechariah asked. Mary said, "How's this going to happen? What do I need to do?" She embraced the truth of the message. She believed what God spoke to her through this angel. And because of that, we see a contrast in the response. And we see a better example of faith in Mary than we had in Zechariah. And Zechariah, don't forget, was a really good guy who followed the law of God blamelessly. He was a really exceptionally wonderful fellow. But he needed to be more trusting when God's word came to him. Mary was trusting when God's word came to her. She believed, but she still had a question. How? She didn't say, "I'm not sure I want that to happen," even though for this to happen was going to create all kinds of difficulty and misunderstanding. The man who was supposed to marry her would not believe her story. "God chose me out of all the women in human history to have his baby." Can you see why Joseph would have a little trouble believing that? But Mary embraced it. Mary said, "May it be to me according to thy word." May your word be true in my life. That is a response of faith. That is a response of submission, yieldedness to God. And so, as a result, she is called blessed in every generation, and rightly so, because she believed what God said. That is faith. Now go over to chapter 2 and the angels appearing to the shepherds. A number of biblical commentators suggest that the testimony of shepherds was not acceptable in court. They were considered so far down the totem pole that they were not considered trustworthy if their testimony was given in court. Neither, by the way, in many courts, was the testimony of women admissible? Okay? Well, who can believe her? She's a woman. But if you look at who God chose to be his witnesses, God chose women to be the first witnesses of the resurrection. God chose shepherds to be the first witnesses to the fact that Jesus was born. Because God looks at it differently than the way that people look at it. And God deliberately delights in taking those that the world would say are nobodies and saying, these are my precious ones. These are my saints. So, they are out in the fields just doing their job. It's nighttime and they're up. Because nighttime is when the predators come around. And so as they're out there doing their job, suddenly there's an angel that appears. And the angel makes an announcement to them. And the announcement is, do not be afraid. Isn't that what the angel said to Mary? Isn't that what the angel said to Zechariah? Okay, I have a message for you this morning. Do not be afraid. Why? It doesn't say because all your concerns are going to be fine. It says because something is happening that is so much greater than whatever else you're thinking about. You need to focus on this. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. All kinds of people can find their joy in this. This is good news. Now what's the news? A Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Jesus is the good news. The message that we're supposed to give to others is the good news of Jesus Christ. The thing that changes our lives forever is the good news of Jesus Christ. It's all about him. So, when the angel makes this announcement, he's then accompanied, verse 13, by a huge group of angels. It says, a great company of the heavenly host. Say, well, were they something other than angels? No, verse 15 says, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven. So you got first a soloist and then you got a choir. Okay? The angels said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. And the shepherds said, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened. They have a glorious expression of faith, better in many ways than Mary's, and certainly better than Zechariah's. These angels have given a message to a bunch of nobodies, and these nobodies have responded with glorious, simple faith. They said, let's go and let's see this thing that has happened, which we've been told about. And you know what they found? They found that everything was exactly as they had been told. Do you know what will happen if you believe God's word? You will find out that God's word is exactly right. If you believe what God says, you will see in time that everything works out exactly the way God said. There are still some things that I am waiting to see come to pass regarding end times. I may live long enough to see it. But if I don't get to see it from here, I'll get to see it from there. I can tell you something. You believe what God says, you will find out. It's exactly as he promised. It is exactly as we've been told. God does what he says. Believe his word.
Hi, this is Jim Wood with Abiding in Christ. As our financial year comes to a close on December 31st, we would be especially grateful to hear from you. This broadcast is funded by the generosity of God's people. And whether you use the postal service or give securely online by going to pastorwood.org or call us at 866 4:1 abide. In any case, we're grateful for gifts large and small. Every gift matters, and we're trusting God to reward you. He promised He will. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.